Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Paul, the apostle, was a grateful man. He says in 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus." He was a grateful man because Christ had shown mercy to him in spite of his vehement opposition to Christ. Why did Christ show mercy to Paul, who was a blasphemer, took every opportunity he could to speak against Christ and against his doctrine and against his people, who was a persecutor, took every opportunity he could to persecute the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was an insolent man, a wanton aggressor, who did everything he could to oppose Christ and his people, and yet Christ showed mercy upon him? Why? Well, the first answer is because that's the kind of God that the triune God is, the true God of the Bible. He's a God of mercy. Depth of mercy. Can there be mercy still reserved for me? Absolutely. God is a gracious God, a merciful God. He can save to the uttermost all those who come to him by Christ. That's the kind of God he is. He delights to save sinners. And Paul, Saul of Tarsus, at that time was certainly a sinner. He is a God of great mercy, and he had mercy upon Saul. In fact, all he was doing, well, I shouldn't say all he was doing as if to minimize it in any way, but what he was doing was demonstrating what Christ himself taught in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Bless those who curse you, do good to those who spitefully use you and persecute you." That's what Saul was doing toward Christ and toward his people. And what did Christ do? Christ blessed him in the greatest possible way. He showered his saving grace upon him. He was simply doing what Christ taught his followers to do in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "I say unto you, love your enemies. Be like your Father in heaven." Your Father in heaven who sheds his rain on the just and the unjust alike and sends food both to the unjust and the unjust alike and provides so many temporal blessings, so many benefits and necessities of life that God gives to those who hate him, who blaspheme him, who revile his name, who injure his cause, just like Saul of Tarsus. But you see, God is a merciful God, and he delights to show mercy upon great sinners because that displays the greatness of his mercy. It shows what a great pardoning God he is. Who is a pardoning God like thee? And who has grace so rich, so free? God saves the vilest of sinners so that no sinner might consider himself beyond the reach of God's grace. In fact, Paul tells us that that's exactly why God saved him, to make him an example, so that when people were wrestling with their sin, their guilt, they were under conviction, their conscience was bothering them, they knew they needed a Savior, They were wondering whether Christ would save them. The weight of their sin and their guilt caused them to think that they were beyond hope. Satan would come and whisper in their ear and say, "You have sinned too much. It's not possible that God would save a sinner as great as you are." They could look to Saul of Tarsus and remember how great a sinner he was and realize that they are not beyond the scope of God's grace. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. He was a terrible sinner. But that's why he was so grateful for the mercy of Christ. Those who are forgiven much, love much. You remember that, don't you? Remember, when Paul was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an injurious man, as he describes himself here, all the while he was an utterly religious man. Nobody was more religious than he. Nobody was more devoted to religion than he. Nobody was more devoted to the God of the Bible, Jehovah God, than Saul. But all the while, a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent, injurious man in his relationship with Jesus Christ. Is it possible to be religious and to be a great sinner? It certainly is. Is it possible to be a committed religious person, active in the church, serving the church fervently, faithfully, and still be an enemy of Jesus Christ? It certainly is. Saul is an example of that. I wonder if I'm talking to somebody else today who's an example of that. God has caused you to tune in this broadcast. You are fervent in your churchmanship, but you are nevertheless still estranged from Jesus Christ. Oh, let me plead with you to acknowledge your guilt, your need, your lost condition, and turn to Christ, who is a merciful Savior. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. A terrible sinner. Paul also tells us that one of the reasons why Christ showed mercy upon him was because, and these are the words of verse 13, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I have wrestled with that statement for many a year, and I must confess that for many years I was quite puzzled by it. But I think this is what Paul is saying. He's not saying that his ignorance of who Jesus was excused his sin. He says he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. He still was. Whether he did it deliberately or ignorantly, he still was. He was guilty of those sins. If he had to stand before the judgment bar of God and give an account for his life, he would have to answer for those sins, and he would be condemned because of them. He's not saying that because he did it ignorantly in unbelief, that he is innocent of those sins. He is claiming that he is guilty of those sins. He is identifying himself as a guilty sinner of the vilest sort. But what I think he is saying is this: there is a difference between those who sin deliberately and those who sin ignorantly. It's virtually impossible for us to tell that in regard to another person, because we can't read the heart. We don't know the motives. Only God does. God knows perfectly. We can, however, I think sometimes, maybe not always, but sometimes we can ascertain that for ourselves. Maybe not at the time we are still blind in our sins, but later, because Paul does here. Looking back on his life, he says, I was all these things. I'm guilty of blasphemy and persecution and the most wanton, aggressive, violence against the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that makes me a sinner of the greatest magnitude. But I can tell you that I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That is to say, when I was doing it, I thought that I was doing right. I thought that I was serving God. I thought that Jesus of Nazareth was an imposter, not the Savior. That's what I thought. I thought so sincerely. I was totally ignorant. I did it in unbelief. That is, I didn't have the faith to believe that Jesus is the Christ, a faith which must come from God. I didn't have that faith. I was in unbelief. I was ignorant. And therefore, God chose to show mercy upon me. The implication seems to be that if I had done all of this knowingly, that there would not have been mercy. Sounds to me a great deal like what the writer of Hebrews is saying in Hebrews chapter 6. He said, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." Is the writer of Hebrews talking about somebody being who was saved, losing their salvation? No. And I don't have time to deal with that text in detail, but just go on and read the verses that follow the ones I read, and you will see that that is so. He's not talking about somebody losing their salvation, but he's talking about someone who comes very close to true salvation and who has been enlightened by the Holy Spirit to know the truth. Somebody who knows that Jesus is the Christ. Somebody that knows that salvation is found only in Christ. Somebody who has witnessed the operations of the Holy Spirit and knows that the power of God is real and knows that the Christian message is true. Someone like that who deliberately, willfully, stubbornly refuses to embrace Christ, rejects all of that, and goes another way. It is impossible, said the writer of Hebrews, to renew a person like that to repentance. That's, I think, what Paul is saying here. I didn't fit that category. I was a terrible sinner. But I didn't understand who Jesus is. Was Paul excused for not understanding who Jesus is? No, he really should have known. He had the same scriptures that Simeon and Anna had, the same scriptures that Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, had, the same scriptures that Mary, the mother of Christ, and Joseph, the stepfather of Christ, had, the same scriptures that the disciples of Jesus Christ had. He had the same scriptures. There's really no excuse for him rejecting Jesus as the Christ. But nevertheless, at the time he was persecuting the church, he did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. He was in unbelief, and what he did in ignorance, thinking that he was doing God's service. There's hope for a person like that. That God may enlighten them. God may arrest them. God may show them their error. He did it for Saul. He may do it for you or for your loved ones and friends. Pray that he shall. Until next week, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.